And so we're going to be landing our journal. The last 2 weeks we've been in the Rooted journal, and I've heard so much great testimony and feedback of how this journal and the series. We started in the first four weeks talking about being rooted in Christ and the importance that we are to be rooted. In fact, we looked at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And so we spoke about being rooted in Christ. Then we spoke about being rooted in community. One of our culture values at Mountain Park is we are family. And God planted you in a family called a church. And like the palm tree's roots, they go out and intertwine so that when a hurricane comes, they don't fall over because their roots are intertwined with others' roots. They're stronger together. So at Mountain Park, we are family and we are better together. Then we spoke about being rooted in truth. That in this world, there are so many opinions. There's, you know, the opinion, the gospel according to Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and whatever news, Fox or CNN. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we need to be rooted in God's truth, the Word of God. The final authority is the Word of God. Heaven and earth may fade away, but my Word, the Word of God is eternal. And we're to build. Jesus said, build your life, not on sand, the things of this world. Build your life on the Word of God, the truth. And so we're to be rooted in truth. Then Pastor Don preached on being rooted in mission. Part of our vision here at Mountain Park is that you're to realize your role in God's story. Remember I said a few months ago, we're not a cruise ship. It's not the love boat. It's a battleship. You have a role here. We spoke about that in our series, that we're rooted in Christ. He took us out of darkness, a fallen world, into light, into His kingdom. We were once far off from God and sinners doing our own thing. And every one of us in this room, as Scripture says, missed God's mark. There's not one of us that can say that we're good enough to deserve a relationship with God. We're good enough to be forgiven. No, the Bible says all have sinned and missed God's mark. But the good news is God so loved us that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus, John 3:16, that whoever, anybody, doesn't matter what state you're in, what you've done, what you've been through, anybody believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. See, today you can know without a shadow of a doubt that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that your last breath on earth will be your first breath in heaven. Why? Because if you've asked Jesus into your life, if you've thanked Him for dying for your sins, if you repent of your sins and confess and believe on Him, the Bible says you will be saved. Not you could be, might be, you will be. Because Jesus is the guarantee. Not you, Jesus. And so we rooted in that. Then we went and jumped into, why me? And Jesus said, in this world, in John 16, verse 33, in this world we live in, this fallen world, this dark world, this world that is opposed to God, you will have trials and tribulations, Jesus said. But He said, in me, you can have peace. And He says, you can have joy. Why did Jesus say that? Because He said, I have overcome. And if you're rooted in me, if you're building your life on the Word of God, no matter what wind, wave, storms come your way, my friend, Jesus is in the boat with you. You're going to get through it to the other side. You're not alone. And then we jumped into the last part, the last 3 weeks, talking about get it, got it, good. In week one, I spoke about blessing. That now that we're rooted in Christ, now that we're children of God, now that we're rooted in truth and in family, God wants to bless our lives. It's a covenant promise. In Genesis chapter 12, God said, I want to bless you that what? You can be a blessing. God wants us. He wants to put gifts and talents, and He wants us to live a John 10:10 life where He said, I came to give you life and life overflowing. It's not for yourself. It's for the fallen world, for people that need help and people that need you to come alongside and serve them and people that need to hear about Jesus, people that need to see the transformation in your life. We're blessed. And then Pastor Jaime said, preached on week two of Get It, Got It Good, an opportunity. We all have opportunities every day to make a difference. You have an opportunity today as after church, as you're thinking right now about where you're going for lunch. You have an opportunity to tip that waitress. You have an opportunity to look at them actually in the eyes and give them a smile. You actually have the opportunity at lunch to give them an invitation to Easter. You have opportunities every single day to make a difference. But what is going to get us there? What's going to make the difference? It's one word. In fact, we're going to talk about that word today in week three. It's the word responsibility. Responsibility. You see, now that we're children of God, now that we're rooted in Christ and rooted in truth and rooted on mission and rooted in the family and we're growing and growing, there's a responsibility that we have. In fact, the ultimate responsibility that Christ's followers have is found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. And then Jesus came and he said to them, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, I've conquered sin, death and the grave, and my name is above all names. And now that you put your faith in me, he says, authority is given to me. He says, now therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What was Jesus saying to his disciples? He was saying, listen, that you have a responsibility now. You've received the greatest gift a human could ever receive. One that you can never earn, don't deserve, and never be spiritual or good enough for. Salvation. Salvation, forgiveness of sin, being restored into a relationship with God is a free gift. And now that you've received it and your life has been transformed and changed, he says, now you've got to do what? Take the responsibility of telling others. Take the responsibility of telling others. See, that's what rooted is all about. Realizing who I am in Christ, but then realizing what Christ wants to do through me in a fallen and broken world. You know, it's an interesting word when we see responsibility. So often it's a word that many of us shy away from. You know, I've spoken to many Christians one-on-one or at coffee shops, and you know, Pastor, I just want to be a great man of God. I really want to be a great man. I want to be a great husband. I want a godly marriage. I want to have a godly family and kids that love the Lord. And, you know, if you go into their room, they're just singing Kumbaya, my Lord. And they're looking at the Bible. My kids don't go on the iPad, you know. And they're just so nice in the car. And my wife and I, when we drive into church on a Sunday, it's just so peaceful. And we walk out and there's, angelic music. Come on. I mean, it ain't real. So... But, you know, it's just, I want to be a great Christian. I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great wife. I want a godly marriage. I want all these things. But here's the deal. You can dream about it, but until you take responsibility, you'll never get there. Yes. Until you say, you know what? God has done all of these great things. I have all the keys to the kingdom. But guess what? I got to turn the ignition. I got to take that step. I got to open my heart. God's done all this for me. Now is the new creation. What did Paul say in Colossians chapter 2? He said, walk with Christ. Be rooted and built up with Christ. Jesus is giving you an invitation and he's waiting for you to respond. He's waiting for you to take care. That's why one of my favorite verses is Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23. It says, God, your heart above all else. You know what Solomon was saying? It's not God's responsibility to guard your heart. It's yours. Well, Pastor, my life, no one likes me. My life's a mess. Take responsibility for what you let go into your heart. It's not God. It's you. I was thinking about the word responsibility this week. And on Thursday night, as I'm thinking about this message, going, God, where do you want me to go with this? He said, look at the word. And so I looked at the word responsibility. You know what's in the middle? I have to take responsibility or I have to run away from it. It's a choice. Responsibility is a choice. You can choose to invite someone to Easter or not. You can choose to say thank you or not. You can choose to be gracious or not. You can choose to be a worshiper or not. You can choose to be generous or not. You can choose to be in family or not. It's a choice. But here's the deal. I am responsible for my choices. Well, let's look at the word responsibility, and I want to get a little creative. I believe if we want to really become a people of God that take responsibility of everything that God has given us and take responsibility for everything God has done for us, if we want to be that man or that husband or that friend or that wife or that mother or that woman of God how do we take that responsibility? How do we begin to be rooted and walk? I want to give you two things today that will help you to move forward in responsibility. And so I want to take this word responsibility and let's remove the I right now. And what do we get as we look at this? I believe responsibility is made up of two words. Response and ability. You see, if I want to take responsibility of everything God has for me, I've got to learn how to respond to God, and then I've got to discover my ability in God. Yes. See, rooted in Christ is where, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, it says, the old has gone. You're no longer an old creation doing life by yourself. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, Paul says this, you are a new creation. You're a child of God. And now, guess what? I need to discover everything God has done for me, everything that He defines me. But let's stop with the word response. How are you, in the season of your life, responding to God? What is God saying to you? Well, Pastor, I'm not hearing anything. Maybe it's time to take responsibility and open up the B-I-B-L-E. Well, why did you say B-I-B-L-E? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Somebody's going to catch it in a second. I don't know how to respond to God. I don't know what God's saying. Then you know what? Take responsibility and flip off the mute button and open up your Bible. He's ready to speak to you. He's Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God is living, sharper than a two-edged sword. This is alive. God wants to speak to you. This is your basic instruction before leaving Earth. Now, some of you guys, if you're like me, when you buy that new sofa from IKEA and you get all those bolts, guess what you do? If you're like me, I don't need a manual. Don't need the instruction. Let me just build the sofa. I saw it on the showroom. And so I'm just going to put it together. And guess what happens? Oh, it's 15 bolts left. You know, Pastor Charlton, you know what? I look at Pastor Greg Battle and what he's done, and we've honored him, and that's amazing, and that's great. And, you know, I want to have that life. But guess what? He paid a price. He was in the Word of God on his knees. It's like me, you know, if I can just be 1% ripped as Pastor Greg Battle. But he goes to the gym every day. And so now when I go to the gym, I'm like, Lord, help me to be like Greg Battle. I got to go to the gym. And I got to work out. I got to eat healthy. He's so disciplined. And he works out. And that's why he looks the way he looks. It takes work, but you got to, what is God saying to me in this season of my life? Is that I want to be that man of God. I want to be that husband. I want to be that dad. I want to be that friend. I want to be that work colleague. I want to be a blessing. Well, what is God asking you in this season to do? You see, there's a man in the Bible. His name's King David. And in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, it's an interesting story. And in verse 11, it says this, at the time of war, when kings went to battle, David stayed home. Okay. David's responsibility in that season was to what? Go to battle. At the time of war, when kings went to battle. David said, you know what? I'm tired of winning battles. So my homies, they got it. My guys, they got it. We're going to win. It's all right. I'm going to stay home and watch March Madness. I don't need to respond to God. I know where I'm supposed to be in the season. I mean, I'm just going to kick back. I'm a lazy boy and watch March Madness. So one night after watching the game, guess what? He goes up on his balcony of his penthouse, and he looks out across, and there's Bathsheba naked taking a bath on the roof. It's kind of weird, taking a bath on the roof. But Bathsheba's there, and David does what? Whoa, man. And calls her over and sleeps with her, and she gets pregnant. And to cover it, what does he do? He has her husband killed. And you know what? So often the responsibility of the moment, you see the prophet Nathan comes to him and says, David, I've got to tell you a story about this guy who had this sheep, and it was another guy, a whole bunch, and those guys, instead of killing his sheep, came and took this one guy, you know, took his lamb chops, his beautiful little lamb, and he killed his lamb. And David said, who's the man that did that? I'll kill him. And the prophet says, it's you. You took another man's wife and then you had him murdered. Hello, what was God saying in the moment? David, Are you going to take responsibility? Because you know what David could have said? Well, God, why did you have Bathsheba on the rooftop naked? I mean, if you knew that I like woman, why was she there at that time when you knew God? No, 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 no. Backtrack, David. At the time of war, when kings go to battle, you shouldn't have been home on the roof watching March Madness and going out in the balcony. You were supposed to be on the battlefield. If you took your responsibility and you were responding, if you were responding to the season God had you in, you wouldn't have been on that balcony. Yes. See, that's what we do as Christians. Well, God, I fell. And you would have known, so why did you put that in my life? No, 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 no. At the time of war, when kings go to battle, don't blame God because of your sin. Begin to look back and say, maybe it's not God's fault. Maybe it's my fault because I'm not responding to what God's telling me. Yes. See, that's why the Bible says this. Obedience better than sacrifice. But how does David respond in that moment where he made a bad decision, the moment where he should have been in the time of war where kings went to battle? He disobeyed God. He didn't respond. He didn't say yes to God. He said no and did his own thing. And now he's in a mess. He's had a husband killed. He's got this woman pregnant. What is and the prophet comes and exposes it. What does he do? Run? No, he responds. And that's why we have one of the most beautiful psalms, Psalm 51 in the Bible. Psalm 51 is where David repents. He gets away from everybody. He puts ash and sackcloth and he weeps before the Lord. And then Psalm 51, listen to the words, part of the words in verse 10 and 12 of Psalm 51. Create in me a pure heart, O God. And renew what? A steadfast spirit, a right spirit within me. And do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I love this. What does David do in the moment of I've made bad decisions? I need to own it. I need to take responsibility. What does David do? Instead of running from God, he responds to God. God, create in me a clean heart. Is some of you today that you've got to start responding to God. You want to be that man. You want to be that father. You want to be that husband. Guess what? It's all about every day. It's all about the response you make every day to the things that God is showing you. It's not just about Jesus. It's not just about hearing the word. It's about doing it, living it. So what is God asking you today? Point number one, if you're taking notes, and I'm going to speed it up a little bit. Point number one is this. You've got to nurture the response. You got to nurture. David made some bad choices, didn't take responsibility, but he repented and he began to nurture the response. God created me a clean heart. God, every day I need you. God, I'm about to go out today. I've got this business deal. I've got to go to that workplace where, God, they look at stupid things and they talk stupid things. Help me to respond. Help me to be light and darkness. God, right now, I'm angry at my spouse. You know what, God? Help me to respond. Would you change my heart in my marriage, God? With my kids right now, I'm angry and disappointed. Would you help me to see them the way you see them, God? I want to respond. I want to respond how the Bible says I'm to respond right now. God, that person stabbed me in the back. You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to turn the other cheek. Why? Because God's got it. God is in control right now. As long as my heart is clean, as long as my heart is clean to God, I'm going to be all right. What is he asking you today to do? How are you going to respond? The second part of responsibility is ability. Because so many people go, well, Pastor, you know, you want me to tell people about Jesus? I'm not asking you to be bullhorn guy. You know bullhorn guy, the guy at the games? Repent, you're going to hell. I can smell the sulfur on you. I once went to a guy, and he told me how pathetic I am, and da-da-da-da. And then he said, he looked at me and said, so what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. He ran. I'm not asking you to be weird. I'm just asking you to be different. I'm not asking you to be weird. I'm asking you to be different. We're in the world, but not of it. Come on, when you go to that 30-year high school reunion and you walk in, they should literally look at you and say, who are you? We don't know you. Well, I'm so-and-so. No, 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 no. So-and-so used to be, you know, getting high, wasted, partying, sleeping. You know, so-and-so, you were the most introverted, out there, crazy, and there's a glow on you. What's up? Well, I met this guy. His name's Jesus. Oh, so you into religion? No, 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 no. I'm into relationship. I'm responding to God. See, so often, you know, what we do is we, as if you're taking notes, point number two is this. Don't limit ability. What do you mean by don't limit ability? We've been talking about rooted in Christ. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Who's the jars of clay? You and me. We have this treasure. What's the treasure in us? To show us that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. What does that mean? You, if you're a Christ follower today, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. Paul says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is in your life. But here's what we do. We limit God. I can never be that man of God. Yes, you just spoke it over yourself. You won't. But you know what? Pastor Scott said this last week. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do some things, a few things, all things. Through who? Myself? My ability? Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I want that godly marriage. I can do all things through Christ. I want to be that man of God. I can do all things through Christ. I want to be successful in my industry and career. I can do all things through Christ. You see, what is ability about? It's recognizing who God is in your life. Yes. It's recognizing that you're a child of the Most High God. It's recognizing and growing that, you know what, I used to be an old creation, but now I'm a new creation. Now I am rooted in Christ. I'm doing life through Christ. Ability. See, that's why if there's anything the enemy can do in you as a believer, he doesn't care that he's going to heaven. He just doesn't want you to realize who you are in Christ Jesus. He doesn't want you to renew your mind. He doesn't want you to understand that when you pray, you have authority. When you confess the word of God, you have authority. He doesn't want you to get that. Because guess what? If you do that, you're going to be a different man or woman of God. You're going to have a different marriage. You're going to raise different kids. And there's going to be a blessing on your house. And when they begin to see that, guess what? They're going to want that. They're going to want what you have. Because we're blessed to be a blessing. The world needs to know. So what am I saying to you today? Responding to God every day. That's why being in the Bible and praying. That's why saying yes. What is he asking you today to say yes to? And then ability. Come on. Don't limit your ability in Christ. I can't do all things. God, you're going to get me through this. There's winds and waves all around me. But God, you're the one that speaks to the winds and waves today, God. I can't get through this. I'm rooted in you. I'm not on sand. I'm building my life on what you say. I'm trusting you. And point number three is this. You've got to take responsibility. What does that mean? I'm responding every day. My relationship with God. But then what's really beautiful is I'm seeing, as I'm in the Word, I'm beginning to see who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm beginning to see what He says about me. And as I'm beginning to do that in my life, you know what I do? As I'm responding and I realize who I am in Him, I begin to take responsibility. I'm going to be faithful, God. What you're asking me to do today, take a little step. I'm not going to let fear intimidate me anymore. I'm not going to let people tell me I can't do it anymore. I'm not going to, okay, you know what? Yes, maybe my dad was a player and went through so many divorces. I don't have to be like that. Maybe mom and dad got together at one night and Barry White was playing. Let's get it on. And so they got it on in the back of a car. And 9 months later, I was born. You're not an accident. You're not an accident, my friend. Maybe the method wasn't perfect. But He knit you together in your mother's womb. And He says this in Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper and give you a hope. God, I want to take responsibility by responding to you and asking you to show me who I am in you. Amen. Let's pray today. Father, thank you today for this time. Thank you for us getting to honor Pastor Greg. Thank you today. I pray today that whatever the yes is that we need to say to, maybe it's saying yes to you. Maybe it's saying yes to opening the Bible again. Maybe it's saying yes. May we take that responsibility today. Maybe today it's saying, God, would you show me who I am in you? I'm not going to be led by fear anymore. I'm going to be led by faith. I'm going to take responsibility today. I'm going to invite you in, God, to make a difference in my life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.